everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Rick and Tony with me. We've already been bantering on the front end of this. I'm sure we'll do some more on the back end. But let's jump into the good stuff before we drop all of our good one-liners. So we have we're going to cover a few topics that we've covered in the past to some degree, but sort of new developments. We're going to start though. We're shifting away from politics, but we've got a recent Kamala Harris proposal to ban price gouging on food and groceries as part of her broader economic agenda. And I already know what you guys think about this. I think price controls have been used once or twice in the past and to no avail. But Tony, let's start with you. I know you're a big Kamala fan.
Man, just when I thought I couldn't meet a dumber human being, you know, I get proven wrong over and over again with some retarded comment like this one. Like, I don't even know how it's like publicly acceptable to speak like this, you know, especially for somebody in her position to come out with such a moronic statement about, you know, trying to pull a stunt like this, which is impossible. It's never worked. It's never going to work. And as a business owner, who's going to listen or comply to that dimwit? You know, and telling them how to run their own business for the sake of the greater good, which is a problem that is caused by their stupidity in the first place, right? So I don't know how that's going to play out, but in my opinion, like, you just ignore these people. I mean, nobody should even be giving them 30 seconds of their valuable time to listen to this nonsense. It's complete rubbish. None of it will work. It's just trying to save face in whichever pathetic attempts that they're trying with. It's just silly, man. Like, I don't even want to waste time commenting on that ludicrous statement. It's just not going to work.
Well, and more importantly, I mean, the thing, anytime Kamala speaks and she makes some promise, like, my reaction is, you're the vice president right now. You've got six more months that you and Joe, who, by the way, I haven't heard from in a while, could do something. Go do it. Like, this is your opportunity. You know, sign an executive order if you really think this is going to work. But yeah. Regardless, I think the next president's going to be fighting inflation. And by fighting inflation, I mean they're going to have to just throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, I guess $6 trillion printed during COVID was not a good idea. And we've got all this money flooding the system. Rick, give me a UK perspective.
Oh, man. Well, listen, it's nice to know that it's not just UK politicians that are completely out of their minds, right? Because Kamala Harris just comes out. Boom, she just says, hey, guys, I'm a communist. I mean, she's a communist, right? Like, these are, this is just communism. It's almost, it's laughable at this point. I mean, back in the 70s, Nixon tried price controls that failed miserably, right? And price controls, like, they don't work because, like you said, Michael, right? Like, margins at the supermarkets are between like 1-3% profit margins, right? Like this idea that these companies are like taking advantage of consumers and jacking up the price to make more profit is just total nonsense. It's like it's childlike thinking because of course inflation impacts them as well. So all their costs have gone up. That's what's driving the increased costs of goods, right? And the problem is that if Kamala Harris, the crazy communist, decides that she's going to put price controls on what these organizations sell, but she's not going to put price controls on their input costs, then all that happens is that all these goods become unprofitable. And what happens next? Well, the companies stop producing them. Go figure. So what you end up with is Venezuela. It's just like no products on the shelf because it doesn't make any sense.
No one's going to do it.
It's mental. If she goes through with something like that, then expect food shortages. That's what happens after you try price controls, right? It's really, really simple. And yeah, I mean, look, this always happens in a hyperinflationary or inflationary environment because the government's got two options, right? Number one, admit that inflation is their fault because they colluded with the Federal Reserve and printed money out of the wazoo, right? Or two, blame someone else. So what are they going to do? They're always going to look to blame someone else. So now they're going to go and blame the supermarkets, tell everyone it's their fault. And listen, when the shelves are empty, they'll also tell you that that was the supermarket's fault as well. So yeah, Kamala Harris, I mean, she's just a dirty red, right? Like, she's a full-on communist. And hey, Yeah, I mean, if she gets into office, then yeah, I guess we'll all be off to South America. I don't know where we're gonna go, boys, but we gotta get the hell out of here, right?
If she wins, I'd say every American citizen with half a brain is going to need a plan B, like 911.
Yeah, and Rick, you hit on something important too, and this isn't a just like a knock on Democrats. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, everyone's tried this because everyone, you know, not everyone, but throughout time, politicians in different times and places have faced the same issues. They devalue the currency. Obviously, prices increase. That's what happens. And or rather, the prices increasing, your fiat just becomes worth less. And it just doesn't work. I was explaining this, like my wife is really smart, but she's never studied economics, doesn't really think a lot about this stuff. And I was at dinner with her last night and was explaining that when these sorts of things come about, what happens is you get shortages if there's a price control at the top, and you get surpluses if there's a price control at the bottom, right? So like if you put a floor on prices, and it's just the market responding to manipulation. If you allow the free market to just operate, prices are going to be what they're going to be. And unfortunately today, that's just higher than it was yesterday or 3 years ago or 5 years ago, because we have more money flooding the system. It's just that simple. It's not a hard concept for people to understand, but people are so financially and economically illiterate that it sounds appealing. Like, oh, if someone could, I would rather blame the grocery store and have someone just go step in and fix that than acknowledge what's really going on behind the scenes. So,
It's
yeah,
total
not going to work.
hubris, right? These people, they think, right? So if an economy is made up of every single tiny minute transaction between individuals, imagine how insane you have to be to think that you could centrally manage this. You gotta be, it's beyond dumb. And you're right though, this isn't like a Democrat versus Republican issue. They've been printing money regardless of who's in power for what, 50, 60 years? So look, either party gets in, you're still going to have inflation. This is like an unavoidable problem now. So the only thing to do, the only logical conclusion is vote for yourself, secure some Bitcoin, get yourself a Plan B residency, make a backup plan.
Out.
No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to save you. So you got to save yourself.
Hundred%.
Well said. And hey, I'm just going to apologize. I didn't really account for the sun rising, unfortunately. So my lighting's probably going to get kind of funky here. But we'll move on to the next one. Speaking of inflation, CPI inflation comes in at 2.9%. Good news, guys. Better than expectations. So they're happy with the pace at which they're stealing from us. It was better than they were anticipating. I can't remember what they were. I think they were thinking, yeah, 3% inflation. Yeah. Oh, and 2.9. They really knocked it out of the park here. Initial reactions to the inflation numbers. Hey, first of all, Tony, do you believe 2.9%?
Yeah, man, like I saw pink monkeys flying, last night, in the sky above me. So yeah, of course I believe they're 2.9. I don't know what kind of mathematical wizard they hired to concoct these numbers, man. But whoever that is, let me tell you, man, he's doing some creative wizardry that I've never heard of before. 2.9. I mean, you have to be an utter fool to even listen to anything these people spew out. All you have to do is go out to your local market and check the price of things and see if it matches that ludicrous 2.9 rubbish that they're printing on all major headlines now to sort to do God knows what they're trying to accomplish with this. I think they just think the American people are as dumb as it can possibly get, and that they'll simply believe what they read just because it's in the papers. It's an actual insult to every American citizen to have this shit printed out on headlines like this by these crooks that are behind the demolition of so many lives in real time today. So no, of course I don't believe this 2.9. Inflation is on double digits easily, almost everywhere, not just in the US, globally. In some cases, it's like astronomically higher. So don't believe anything you read. Just go out to your store and check the price of an item that you used to pay for not that long ago. Compare it the price today. That'll give you the accurate answer. You don't need any politician or any mathematician to give you those numbers. You can figure them out in 10 seconds just by walking into any store in your local neighborhood.
Yeah, Rick.
Oh yeah, I mean, this reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. I can't remember who said it, but it goes something like this. It's like 87% of statistics are made up on the spot, right? The point being that we're just full of it at this point, right? But my favorite thing about CPI is that it doesn't include food, housing, or energy. So hey, listen, guys, really good news. If you live outside, right, and you don't eat, and you don't need to keep yourself warm or use any lights or anything like that, then hey, what are you worried about?
There's no
Unfortunately,
inflation.
if you, yeah, you're all good, man. Then all the other stuff, I only went up 3%. So what's the problem? I'm like, so all the things that are essential for life, right, for you to actually survive. Yeah, we don't count those guys because that wouldn't be helpful for our numbers. And they come up with all these machinations of well, you don't buy a house every day, so we don't need to include that sort of thing. Just bonkers. And even if they did include those things, the idea that 2.9% is accurate is, I mean, they're saying the same nonsense in the UK. They're going, oh, inflation's coming down. And the problem is, right, you have all these dummies, certainly in the UK. I can't speak for America, but like I run into people all the time who say, oh, look, Rick, stop talking about this Bitcoin thing. Inflation's coming down, prices are coming down. And I'm like, yo, like you need to read a book or something. Like, we invented this language. How do you not understand it, right? Inflation at 2.9% doesn't mean prices are coming down. It means they're still going up, just maybe slightly slower than they were before. So, if you thought it was expensive, it's still getting more expensive. So you're getting worse off, and that will continue to be the case. And until you read some books, like go and read the Bitcoin Standard, go and read some books, educate yourself, right? And yeah, I mean, look, if you read modern newspapers today, or like in the UK, if you get your news from the BBC, The Guardian, or any of these ridiculous places, or in the US, like Forbes, The Washington Post, any of these places, right? They are just feeding you lies. And I'd love to call it incompetence, but I think that lets them off the hook. I think they know exactly what they're doing, and they
Of
think they can pull
course.
the wool over your eyes. So yeah, Tony's right. You should tell these people. It's offensive. But yeah. No, CPI is a load of rubbish.
Unless you're having like baked beans on toast for dinner every night, then yeah, maybe there's no inflation.
I'll tell you what, I think you guys are probably giving people too much credit that this is insulting, though, because I think most people buy it. Like I talk to friends of mine who are financial advisors, and in their models, they put 2% inflation as like that's the hurdle rate. And so if we're going to return 9% in the stock market or a diversified portfolio or whatever, like at the end of the day, they buy that inflation has only been 2% historically, and like on net, over the next 20 years, that's still what it's going to be. Never mind the fact that we've very clearly seen double-digit inflation that you can't crawl back from. We're not going to have 5% deflation to offset that, even if inflation slows or gets back down to target, or is it zero for a little while. To cover, 8, 10, 15%, whatever we think the real number is, which is certainly higher than anything they've reported, which got up at least here, I think the 9% or something. I think in the UK it was like over 10 or 11. You have to have that. You have to beat that by having a deflationary period, and it's just not coming. Like 2% makes no sense in any real world scenario. So, but the point I was making is you guys both said this is like an insult to to Americans or whoever's paying attention to this. I don't think they feel insulted. I think they feel like strained financially, but they also feel like, oh, good, they seem to be getting this thing under control because 2% is what we're shooting for. So it's just such an economic illiterate group globally. I don't think that's unique to the United States, but it's unfortunate they can be rugged like this, and they don't even realize they're just these are just blatant lies.
Yeah,
So glad you
that's even
mentioned.
worse. That's even worse, though. That means, that the brainwashing is so in deep and ingrained that, supposedly intelligent people, professionals, are just unable to see it. It's like so crystal clear, from someone just paying attention to basic math that, then the fact that they're not able to do this, I don't know, man. It's a dire situation.
I'm glad you mentioned the financial advisors, actually, Michael, because like you got to be careful listening to those guys because they will get you wrecked,
100%.
Right? Because all they really have done for the last 10, 15, 20 years is taken your money and put it in an index fund and gotten you a return. And then they think they're very, very clever for having done that. When in reality, we all know that the stock market just goes up because they print a shed load of money, right? And I'm glad you mentioned it because this Sunday, actually, our newsletter that's going out is called The Death of the Financial Advisor. And it explains why actually in a world on a sound money standard, where you're not forced into speculating just to try and beat inflation, the question has to be begged, if you could just save money in Bitcoin because money's fixed again, then what do you need a financial advisor for? So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that financial advisors buy into all of this stuff because their livelihood depends on it.
100%.
So they'll be one of the last ones to figure this out, unfortunately.
Yeah. I understand. I was just, here's the thing. With a lot of people, like I was talking with my, I'm out in Utah right now with my entire family. I was talking to my dad and my brother yesterday about like the incentives that doctors have, right? Like, you know, they basically have a subscription model. Ozempic for obese people. They've got statins for people with, you know, high LDL, whatever. And I told them, I said, you know what? Like, the doctor I go to is like a very mainstream doctor. You know, I don't agree on anything. I go to him for like I jacked up my shoulder. I need a steroid injection. You know, like that kind of thing. I don't listen to anything he says about diet. But I was like, I think he's sincere. I think he thinks that a plant-based diet is the way to go. He's been taught that. They've been trained on it. He went to a great college and, like, you know, great med school. He's a smart guy. And he didn't want to prescribe me a statin because of my age. But he's like, you know, 10, 15 years from now, like, you're going to need a statin if you keep doing what you're doing. And so I think he's genuine. He believes that. And I think the same thing about a lot of financial advisors. Like, they've had this model of a diversified portfolio. Stocks go up. You're going to get a 10% return there. Inflation historically is 2%. And so I think the evil starts somewhere higher up, you know, like the mm-hmm. like the Keynesians who have been pushing this into universities for so long. I don't think it's financial advisors that are evil. They're regurgitating what they think they've learned and, you know, have kind of made sense of the world in that way. And I think that's the challenge to overcome is that they really believe it. I don't think most of them are bad people. I know some very good people who are financial advisors and are saying this nonsense. So it's not a defense of lies, but it's, you know, I think you got to step back and like evaluate the incentives, follow the money, and also just understand that people are coming from years and years of education in a particular discipline. And they've been told lies, but as far as they're concerned, it's the best knowledge we have. You know, they haven't figured out Bitcoin yet, obviously.
Yeah, but where's their responsibility to think and use common sense and to do the work and research and verify all this bullshit that they've been fed? If all they are just professional parrots, you know, to regurgitate what somebody else has told them, then you shouldn't be calling them advisors or professionals in any sense of the word. I've never believed in any financial advisor since I was a teenager. I've got family members that are financial advisors in high positions, and I used to laugh at them all the time. I used to tell them, you guys are full of shit. You have no idea what you're talking about. All you're doing is placing a guess, and based on the fact that you know that whoever you're telling this to is an even bigger idiot than you are, who knows even less than you, and that's how they believe you, and you're charging them commissions because you're being paid, you know, based on these incentives. And that's how you're making money. And the fact that your salaries are so high just confirms that there's so many clueless people out there that you're taking advantage of because you know they know even less than you do. And that's how this whole, you know, Ponzi works. So, but all you are is guessing. Like if I were to take a crystal ball, spin my circle, plink, and you're putting all these fancy charts with lines and numbers and all that fucking bullshit, all you're doing is taking a guess based on a hypothetical. So I've never believed in any of them. I've never hired a single one of them, you know, and to this day, now it's been blown out of the water. Now we know that it's all rubbish that they're spewing anyhow.
Yeah. I'm not letting them off the hook for abdicating that responsibility. I completely, completely agree with everything you just said. I think it's just important to start from, like, give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not lying and that they haven't figured it out, I guess is kind of my point. And until they, I think they're going to have to, like we always talk about, they're going to have to experience pain and they're going to have to experience the money printing and it becoming obvious that 2% is not your hurdle that you're trying to beat, right? Mm. To where the pressure's on and they're like, okay, what is the thing that I can use to beat this 8, 10, 15, 20% hurdle? Oh, it's Bitcoin. It's the stock market's not going to do it. Or if the stock market does it, you know, maybe it will because they keep printing and people tend to go into equities and that sort of thing and less into bonds. Am I actually holding anything of value, or am I just holding paper certificates that represent an inflated valuation of some company that, you know, maybe isn't even profitable, which is as many of them. So, you know, I couldn't agree more with that. Okay, we've
got a fair defense, Michael.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, go on.
It's a fair defense because the education system, right? The education system teaches you what to think, not how to think.
Yeah.
Right. So what these people do is they go through, they get this financial education, and they're good at passing exams, right? They get great marks because they're good at taking the information in and regurgitating it. But what they never do is sit and think, does this make sense? Like, do they pull it apart? So, like, you know, passing exams and getting good grades at good colleges doesn't really mean a whole lot if the college has just taught you a load of rubbish. But I think you're right. You know, they don't mean to do harm. They've just been indoctrinated. They've been drinking the Kool-Aid for 10 years, and it's really hard for them to get away from that.
Inability to think. Professional parrots. That's it.
Hey there, just a really quick break from Bitcoin Banter, and we'll be right back. Wanted to remind you that we, the Bitcoin Way, are the leaders in achieving self-sovereignty, whether it's self-custodying your Bitcoin properly and securely, protecting your online life and keeping it private, or even coming up with a plan B option in the event you would need to move yourself or your family elsewhere. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a few minutes to learn more from a member of our team. We hope to see you soon.
I couldn't agree more. So speaking of financial advisories, so we've got Morgan Stanley. So we talked about Morgan Stanley a week or 2 weeks ago. So they've green-lighted their 15,000 advisors to sell and push the ETFs. Well, it turns out they have a financial interest in doing so. They get to pump their own bags. They're a top five holder of BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF, owning 5.5 million shares. I don't know when these were purchased, so this was as of the end of June. So obviously, conflicts of interest. At the same time, I suppose an ETF product, although not Bitcoin, is a better option. In terms, maybe you can outpace inflation. The question, though, is: are the dollars that you earn going to be worth anything? You know, over a long enough time horizon, which our thesis is obviously no. But comments, Rick. Let's start with you on this one. Morgan Stanley not only chilling the ETFs, but also now owning many shares of the ETFs.
Well, you know, color me surprised, right? You've got Morgan Stanley, who sell paper to people, have now decided they're also going to buy some paper. I mean, what can you say about it? I mean, the ETF as well, it pays out in dollars, right? So imagine you're in Weimar, Germany, and you're desperately trying to escape hyperinflation. And everybody's running down the street with their wheelbarrow full of money, right? Trying to buy a loaf of bread. But lucky you bought a Bitcoin ETF. So you ended up with two wheelbarrows full of useless money to try and buy a piece of bread. The mind boggles, right? And these people, this kind of illustrates my point before, is what I was talking about, is like, if you just buy Bitcoin, right, you don't need a financial advisor. You don't need Morgan Stanley. You don't need ETF products. You don't need all of these wrappers. So what is the point of these financial advisors in an economy where money works again? And you either spend the money because you want to consume something, or you save the money and it's sound money, so everything depreciates against it. And that's how you store wealth for the future. What are all these idiots in the middle in their fancy suits and their Rolexes? Like, what purpose, what value do they provide anymore? And the answer is, and always has been, absolutely nothing. The only reason they exist in the first place is because they realize, hang on, you know, if we print all this money and you have to escape it by investing in stocks and shares, then we will just put an advisory service around that. So Morgan Stanley, you know, It's disingenuous again, right? Because you're selling Bitcoin on the proviso that it's a hard asset, right? That will increase in value. But the reason that that is true is because it's the first time we've had something free from government control and free from manipulation, right? the thing that gives Bitcoin value is because you can transact freely, privately, without people censoring you and all this sort of stuff. And then you buy it from an organization that says, well, we're not actually going to give it to you. And you can't actually transact in it. And you can't actually have any of that censorship resistance. Oh, and if you ever want it back, well, you can't have it. I'm just going to give you this worthless paper instead. So I don't know. I find the whole ETF thing like kind of tiring, right? It's like Bitcoin Influencer 2024, okie dokie, right? Like you put your inflows in, your outflows out, in, out, in, out. You track it all about. You make a clickbait thumbnail and you turn around, right? That's what my content's all about. And I'm just like, it's so asinine. It's so removed from like the separation of money and state. You know, that's what we're here for. That, yeah, Morgan Stanley will go the way of the dodo, like the rest of the advisors. And I cannot wait. I really hope that happens in my lifetime.
I was just going to say, I think it's what's frustrating is that they understand the outcome of the Bitcoin thesis, but they've never taken time to learn the mechanics of why. And so they're pumping fiat bags on the backs of Bitcoin in anticipation of Bitcoin continuing to increase in fiat terms. And it's like, why do you think that's happening? If you don't understand it as sound money, then it is purely a speculative asset that you're just like, well, we think people are going to keep buying it. And what an irresponsible thing to push on clients if that's your worldview. I think maybe that's kind of my gripe with them, you know, promoting the product and probably one I haven't really thought about exactly. But it's like you understand half the thesis. You understand Bitcoin's going up forever. You don't understand why it's going up. And that's an important thing to understand. Otherwise, you're just gambling with your client's money. Tony?
Look, these people, a lot of them, most of them don't understand money. These people are just, you know, paid parrots, paid salespeople trying to push a product on an unknowing population. Again, it comes back to my point. They think you're an idiot, okay? And so if they put fancy words in marketing over selling you the dream of making more monopoly money, you know, some people that know even less than they do will fall for it, obviously. But it all comes down to understanding money. And, you know, you're assuming that these people have good intentions, you know, behind the services that they're putting out. They don't. Most of them don't. They're here to get paid a commission. They think the fiat money, I just have to make more of it. Life will be good. That's not true. Because at some point, the rate of inflation is going to outpace the most bullish, you know, seller or commission maker out there. And he's going to flatline and take out everyone that he's so to speak advised to do this. People need to unlearn the lies that they thought they knew about money. There's no way around this. Okay, you can try to talk to an advisor, you can try to talk to economists, you can try to read the newspaper. You're just running around in circles, wasting time, and putting your livelihood at risk. When all you have to do is take two steps back, read the right books or the right articles, understand that everything you knew about value and money was wrong, and you just have to relearn the proper way now and take a few extra steps, you know, to learn what you need to do and protect yourself. But as long as you're bombarded by this constant marketing from all of these guys that have hundreds and millions of dollars that they can throw away in advertising and marketing and all that rubbish, they're just preying on ignorance. That's all it is, because anyone with half a brain can easily see that this is futile. Okay. So like Rick said, eventually all the Morgan Stanleys are going to go away. They're going to disappear like a fart in the wind at some point. But until we get there, right, people are going to have to learn the hard way, unfortunately. But I'm optimistic, I'm bullish, because I see that there's a bigger percentage of folks out there that are not buying it anymore. You know, they simply aren't. And, you know, they are putting in the effort to understand why the system is not working. And it comes down to a fundamental conclusion. Anything backed by fiat is a waste of time and energy and is a losing investment. You're going to be ripped off at some point by something. So come out of this system, leave it in the past. It's complete rubbish. It has absolutely zero value for you. It's no good for you or your family. There's like, just leave it behind and focus on something that no one can take away from you anymore. Something that you can actually use to build the life of your freaking dreams that was never possible before, because we've never had an unconfiscatable asset in the history of humanity. Okay? That's really what it comes down to. You can color it, call it whatever you want. It comes down to that, plain and simple.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to hit on one more item here. So we talked about this in our last Bitcoin Banner episode earlier this week, but Preston Fish posted as a poll on X, what reverse engineered crisis are they going to create to substantiate all the money printing that has to happen with mathematical certainty? So I'm gonna start here, because I'm gonna redact. I think I sort of conceded, Tony. I don't think you were wrong when we spoke on Tuesday. I think that a cyber attack, probably something financial services related, I think really likely. The more I think about it, though, the more World War III seems inevitable to me. So I'm putting it out there. Hopefully they don't cancel us for saying that. But it just seems like we're being pushed to the brink. And my wife was telling me that I was asking her what she thought about that, because she's a lot less, you know, conspiratorial than I am. But she said she thinks the election in November will dictate her concerns about World War III. Because there's one side where she's like, yeah, I think World War III is coming. One side where she's like, maybe we could avoid it, or at least, you know, postpone it for 4 years or something like that. But so my base case is World War III, and I'm totally open to any number of other things happening. You're hearing about monkeypox now. I haven't really been following that, but like that's like the new thing. What are your takeaways, comments, and what's like your base case, I guess, on any of these fronts? Which one do you think is most likely, and then do you think all three are happening?
Yeah, I think all of the above are likely to happen. I initially think a cyber attack is very, very likely, because it just makes sense considering how bad the current system is falling apart. So how else are they going to justify stealing your money than a concocted cyber attack that's, oh my gosh, all of a sudden all banks have their accounts frozen and your money is blown away. But don't worry, we're going to come in and save you. You know, if I was in a position of abuse like this, I mean, it would be like a no-brainer. You know, just lock everybody out, steal their funds, give them some bullshit excuse that I know they'll believe because they're too stupid to begin with. You know, that's like the mindset behind this. And there you go. Problem solved. And now we'll promise these dummies that we'll give them their money back, but it won't be in US dollars. It'll be in this new cool thing that'll make your life much safer, called the central bank digital currency. And all that you need to do is download this cool little app from the app store. You know, it'll give you like nice emojis and bells and whistles. And all you have to be is a nice little, like a good little obedient donkey, and do everything that's listed on the instruction list in that app. And as long as you do that, you know, you can spend your money at the grocery store and buy your little popsicles and go on your little trips whenever you feel like it. But as long as you follow the steps that's listed in this app, if you divert or try to think for yourself, we may have to consider those brownie point credits in your app and reduce maybe your ability to, I don't know, put gas in your car or to go on a trip somewhere or to do any of the fun stuff that you're accustomed to doing, because now you've hurt our feelings and that's just not acceptable, right? So that's what I think is likely to happen. And if anyone that still believes in any of that monkeypox rubbish that they're spewing out, it's like you have to be a certified moron at this point. You know, if you haven't learned the lesson from the last pandemic that they put out and failed miserably at, it's like they're repeating the same script over and over. And in my head, it just confirms without a shadow of a doubt that they genuinely believe in their heart of hearts that we are all morons, that we're just going to, you know, get scared, panic, do all sorts of stupidity and comply with whatever nonsense they're going to want to make us comply with. But I don't think it's going to happen this time around, at least not in the same scale that it did with this last spectacle that they put out. That's my opinion. So if you're asking me which one of these are more likely, I think they're all interconnected. Because if you lock out people of their funds, you may not call it a world war, but you're going to have a civil war that's going to make a world war look like a pony ride in comparison, when you've got panicked people that don't know what to do and are just acting on instinct. You know, I've seen that movie on a small scale. I can't possibly imagine what it looks like on a global scale. And I certainly pray I never have to.
Yeah. Rick, what's your bet?
I think we're all going to be fine. I think Kamala is going to fix everything. Like, I think, like, man, I look at that woman, I'm like, wow, she's going to save the world. Man, I mean, listen, you know, I know probably most of our followers and listeners are in the US, right? So, I mean, I would imagine that, like, within 20 minutes of this podcast ending up on YouTube, I'll be arrested immediately, right? Because our dear leader, Keir Starmer, will come around and put me in a gulag or some description. But it is interesting, right? Because Rishi Sunak, our former unelected prime minister before Keir Starmer, he came out and was on some Question Time TV show, right? And he came out and he said that they were going to reintroduce conscription. Right. So basically, like, you know, everyone's getting signed up and shipped off to war. And someone asked him, like, how, you know, is this compulsory? To which he says, no, it's not compulsory. And so they said, well, how are you going to make anyone do it? And his response was, well, we'll use incentives, but also disincentives. And they could be this or that or financial. Now, for once on one of these TV shows, I was blown away because the host seemed to have like was a bit switched on and said, well, hang on, financial, you mean you're going to cut them out of their bank accounts if they don't go to sign up? And he, oh, no, nothing like that. Well, what does he mean? What does he mean? And this links back to what Tony's saying. So, that, yeah, I mean, I think I agree with all three. You can see it coming, right? Like all over the UK news at the moment is monkeypox this, monkeypox that. It's, you know, we've got to go and fight Putin and Iran and all this nonsense. And I shared with you in the group chat today, because we spoke about this a few times, and I mentioned in the last episode that they always tell you, they give you like little subtle hints of what's coming.
The trailer.
And the day after, I saw in my news feed from The Guardian some article that said like, oh, all the cables that under the sea that you know, run the internet, or something bad's going to happen. I'm thinking, right, give me strength, right? So you're telling me there's a journalist, right, sat in The Guardian in some ridiculously plush office in London somewhere, writing this garbage, right? And somehow they've discovered that the cables under the sea that we route internet traffic through are in trouble. What? It's just, yeah, the mind boggles, right? And we just found out that it was a Ukrainian team that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, because we spoke about that, didn't we, on a recent podcast. And it's all engineered, right? They just want, basically, the money's dying and they are terrified that you're going to realize that it was them. So they're going to just be like, boom, here's a war, here's a pandemic, here's a cyber attack. And to be honest with you, right, I've reached the point where if all that fails, I'm pretty sure they're going to try some like, oh, the aliens are here. Like, that's on my bingo card for the next 5 years. Because the whole thing's become such, it's a pantomime, it's a performance. Just like the idea that you can vote your way out of this. You know, it's just a charade. It's the illusion of choice. So they want to drag us down there, and we've just got to say no. Just do our own thing.
100%.
Definitely. All right. I think that's a good place to wrap. For everyone listening, thanks again for tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can learn a bit about our services. We help with online privacy, Bitcoin self-custody the right way. We walk you through everything step by step. As Tony alluded to earlier, you might want a plan B depending on where you are in the world. You know, we've got options for that. And then our latest and most recent service we're offering are de-Google phones. So you've got privacy for your mobile life, securing your communications while on the road. So again, thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Check it out. Schedule a time with a member of our team. Gentlemen, this is fun as always. I feel like we came in with a lot of fire today. So hopefully we don't get canceled and blacklisted. But I think hopefully people will enjoy this. Thanks for joining, guys.
Thanks, Michael. It's good seeing you guys.
Cheers, everyone.